As Japan deals with its worst disaster since World War II, officials try to prevent an economic disaster.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning. From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. As rescuers race to find survivors of Japan's earthquake and tsunami, the country's central bank is racing to stabilize the world's third largest economy. It's pumping in about $200 billion. Let's get more on this from the BBC's Ben Richardson in Singapore. Good morning.
Morning, Jeremy.
So why is Japan pumping so much money into its economy?
The simple answer to that is confidence. It's very similar in the sort of idea as the huge fund and money that's been committed out of Europe today. Markets are very jittery. People are concerned about liquidity. So what the central bank then does is make huge amounts of funds, some $183 billion, available to all the banks and all the players in the market and sort of say to them, don't worry about things. We're here to back you up. We're here to provide cash if you need it. Keep lending. Keep the economy ticking over. Because that at this moment in time is the most important thing.
And obviously, this is a situation that is impacting places far outside of Japan. Give us a sense of the impact on the rest of the world.
Japan is one of the world's biggest exporters. Its companies are some of the biggest producers in the world. Production at some of the main companies has shut down. People are trying to shift money and assets around. So really everything is intertwined. People are watching this very closely. Within Japan, they're saying that maybe a percentage point could be knocked off growth in the short term. Going forward, the rebuilding will obviously help the economy pick up. But really people at the moment are trying to get a sense for it. They know it's going to be very big. They know it's going to be a problem. And they're trying to limit that as best they can at the moment.
The BBC's Ben Richardson in Singapore. Thanks, Ben.
Thanks.
When you add it all up, the Japan quake could cost insurers nearly $35 billion. That would make it one of the most expensive disasters ever, according to risk analysts AIR Worldwide. And that doesn't even take the tsunami damage into account. Global insurers based in London are already calculating their losses, as Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
The estimated maximum cost of $35 billion would make this the second most expensive disaster after Hurricane Katrina for 40 years. But one London-based analyst thinks the cost to the international insurance industry will be much less than expected. James Shuck of Jefferies International says the Japanese tend to insure themselves.
The international players have less market share in Japan. A lot more of the insurance exposures are held by the domestic players. The role of the state is much greater.
The cost to the international industry will be much lower than expected, he says, because under Japanese law, the government is required to pick up most of the tab for earthquake damage to nuclear facilities. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down around the world, led by a 6% drop in Tokyo. Europe is down a fraction of a percent across the continent. News this morning that Warren Buffett's company, Berkshire Hathaway, is buying the chemical company Lubrizol for $9 billion. Lubrizol makes chemicals that are used to operate engines and industrial machinery. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow gained 59 points to close at 12,044.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in natural gas, nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. By Allianz, managing over $1.7 trillion in assets, providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. And by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the internet. Reputation.com.
The U.S. government has issued another permit for deepwater drilling in the Gulf of Mexico, the second since the BP oil spill. Meanwhile, those who make their livings off of the Gulf are still trying to get compensation from BP. And we're going to talk now to the man who oversees the claims process for the $20 billion oil spill relief fund. Ken Feinberg joins us now from Washington. Good morning.
Good morning.
So we're about a month away from the one-year anniversary of the oil spill, and the claims process is still far from over. How many claims right now are still under review?
Under review, there are about 130,000.
Wow.
We started out this phase with about 250,000. We have winnowed down half of them. We've distributed over $3.5 billion to about 170,000 people and individuals in the Gulf.
Are things moving fast enough in your view?
No. We're moving as fast as we can. There's been well-intentioned criticism about pace from the administration and from local politicians in the Gulf. But I do think the program is moving more expeditiously. We have got more people in the Gulf responding to claimants. So I think we're picking up the pace.
All right. Now, you're handling the BP oil spill fund right now, but you also handled the 9/11 victims fund, the Wall Street compensation fund after the financial crisis. What would you say prepared you to be the man to go to for these tasks?
When you do these very rare and unique programs of compensation, there's sort of, I guess, a desire to go back to the person who's done it before. I've been asked to do this, and I'll do it to the best of my ability. One problem here that we didn't have in 9/11 is both the volume of claims and the pervasive absence of documentation and proof. And I'm a fiduciary for these funds. I'm trying to get the money out, but I want proof.
What would you say to a business school student who wants to be the next Ken Feinberg?
You can have all the expertise in the world in understanding the issues and the formulas. You have to be a shrink. Emotional anger, frustration comes with the victims of a national tragedy. If you're a business school student, you better be well educated in what divinity school teaches you about human nature and human emotion.
Kenneth Feinberg, the guy that every White House seems to go to when there's big trouble. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
And finally, these days you don't often have to think about changing your clocks for daylight saving time because they can change automatically, especially cell phones. But some iPhone customers are complaining that their phones fell back an hour over the weekend instead of springing forward. Can't really blame them, though. If I were an iPhone, I'd probably want to bask in my popularity for another 2 hours as well. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
48 million Americans enjoy bird watching. The Audubon Society is happy about that. Be even happier, though, if they had a little something else.
A younger, more diverse audience to help us create the Audubon of the future.
I'm Kai Rizdal, attracting young birders to the wildlife scene. That's next time on Marketplace. We'll have the day's business news as well. It's all from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.